This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Plenty of time to react about the Cavaliers and the Game 2 debacle collapse. Was it a Pacers comeback? So I think everyone knows where I'm going to go with this, but JP, are you counting the series as over?
No, not in the slightest bit. And I don't know why anybody would right now. We have no idea who's going to be on the court on Friday. One game doesn't go ahead and discount that. And didn't feel like it was the type of game either, Nick, where it's like, again, in 2-0 is very rarely the time you have this. But every now and then you have a game where it's like they took the soul out of that team. Like, there's no coming back from that team. They are dead and it's over. It didn't feel like that. The Cavs' reaction after that game, by all accounts from people that were in the locker room, was not, I guess we lay down and die now. It was, we're excited to play another one.
Yeah, I don't blame fans. If you watch that game and you thought, oh, this is game three of the Miami series, where you were shifting to Miami, you were up 2-0. And Miami, that game two was not a bad performance. And then they came out and they just got whooped from the very first second of game three. That I don't think that's how I'm expecting them to respond in game three. I think the Cavs, I don't know the Cavs are going to win the series. I don't. They're down 2-0. It's fine to have like a significant amount of doubt right now. But the thing I'm certain of is that it's not over. I expect this team, right. Listen, the Cavs, that was a rougher loss in game one than it was in game two. Because quite frankly, you didn't take game one serious enough, and you got bit. You tried to put all your eggs in the basket into that third quarter and ride it to a game one win. And quite frankly, you got bit by a bad loss. Last night was, you ran out of steam. So like, I think emotionally it's a tougher loss in game two because you were up by 7 points and you were up certainly by 14 points going to the fourth quarter. But man, if this Cavs team is who we think they are and who they've been through everything other than like the last two games, they're going to go out there and they're going to get the win on Friday. I'm not guaranteeing a win here. I would be really shocked if they didn't get that win on Friday.
Yeah, and again, it's going to be hard because we don't know who's playing and who isn't playing. There is a reason I checked, by the way. Vegas has the Cavs as 1.5-point favorites for Friday.
Is Vegas just dogging us?
No, I think Vegas genuinely just believes that this Cavs team is a much better team than the Pacers. And even if you take 3 out of the top 5 players in this roster off the court, they still have reason to believe why this team is better.
But I believe if Darius is ready to come back, I think Ty Jerome is going to be a better version of himself. I think if Evan comes back, you're going to have a little bit better spacing, and they're not going to be able to just guard you all the way up. I mean, like, they were aggressive in guarding, and I would say all the time up the court in game one, but they picked you up full court enough times to notice in game one. They were bird dogging you in game two. I think with Darius, Evan, and DeAndre, or 2 of those 3 guys, pick and choose which 2 it is, I don't think I'm going to be able to bird dog you, even though they are going to be able to taste some home cooking there in Indy.
Well, you can start to play your own game, too. Like, again, the Cavs trying to match pace with pace is what got them so tired in the fourth quarter. When you're trying to play as fast as Indiana constantly does, and then you get to the fourth quarter, and then Donovan, looks like, I mean, there was a lot more than just obviously just it being a physical basketball game and what you see in postseason basketball. But it, like, fourth quarter came and they had nothing left.
I do think it's fair to wonder, all right, you've had to rely on Donovan for the first two games so much.
Yeah.
Is this going to take some of the juice out of his legs as this series goes on? But remember, I think there are two times in this series where you have a three-day lapse in between. Like, there's 3 days until from game two to game three, and I think you have another prolonged at the end of this series. So, you know, okay, you felt them out. They felt you out. I actually think Jared Allen is 100% right last night. And this is like the second time I've said this, but he got crap because he said it in a loss. He said something to the effect of, and I'm going to paraphrase it and probably butcher what he said, but he said something to the effect of, I think we figured out how to beat them in game two.
Yeah.
And I think we know the formula going forward. I don't want to say it gets easier from here because the pressure is all on you. It is. There's just no way to look at it any other way.
What do you think that formula is that he was talking about?
I think they found the right match of physicality. I think he was talking more defensively. I think they figured out.
And that's where they look much better.
Yeah, I think they figured out how to slow the pace down. I think they figured out how to add a level of physicality without maybe getting, basically just matching what Indy does instead of trying to overdo what Indy does. And I think if you add another offensive playmaker or two to the mix going into game three, yeah, I think the Cavs are going to strike back in a big way in game three.
Okay,
if we can just get one or two more of those guys back in the court.
What if they don't?
What do you mean?
What if all three guys are off? What's your mentality for game three then?
Can I say it's a must win after I mocked everybody saying it's a must win
yesterday?
I think
we went too hard in the paint with mocking must wins that we, I don't know
well,
that
that's
we're,
when they were 0-1. It's totally different now that they're 0-3.
We'd be the right group of people to go ahead and be talking about must win.
But no, I mean, I think, I don't know, like the thing that I love and the thing that you hate about the playoffs as well is you just find out. Like, I saw, like, one of the reasons why I just cannot dog the Cavs for the loss, I will agree it was an awful loss. I will agree with a lot of the things that people said. If you want to call it a collapse as opposed to a Pacers comeback, I can meet you there. I can give you that. But I just saw so much heart in game two that I refuse to believe that that's the game that's going to break that team's will. So
it didn't seem like it did. And then all the post-game comments and anyone I talked to that was in the locker room, there was no thought process of it breaking them in any sort of way.
Max Strus looked like he was going to break someone as opposed to being broken by that game.
Max Strus seemed pissed he had to answer questions.
So it's funny. I think he was just still pissed about the game.
I think that was, yeah, for
I
sure
think
it was.
I think it was the line.
There wasn't the line of questioning or anything like that. I think he took that game very emotionally, and I think that was okay for him to take it that way.
He had for a guy who's not a... not a superstar player, not a star player. Max Strus had an all-time playoff game in his career.
Well, career, obviously, postseason high for him. And in the type of game where you look at the end of it and you're like, I love this guy.
And
a loss. I don't know that anybody helped themselves out more than Max Strus.
And the last thing that he's going to remember is the inbound pass,
which is insane because I don't even think that's fully on him. I told you before the show. That might be on Atkinson. That might even be on Ty Jerome because you got to set yourself up for a 50-50 ball better than that. But I really don't think that was Max Strus's fault.
If that's how Max feels, then I feel even worse for him because I'll tell you, if in the pantheon of what we saw from that dude, I get one bad thing at the end of the game and I saw one or two bad things at the end of the game and I saw 100 really great things in the first 47 minutes, man, I'll take that. I think it was Daryl that actually said this, which is wild because he said no excuses, where it was, I think, the physical exhaustion. I think they were just so exhausted that it led to mental errors they wouldn't usually make.
That was Daryl that said that, and it's a good read on it, but also you saw, and I thought Greg Anthony made a lot of this on the broadcast. He just kept talking about the idea that the Pacers looked so much quicker and faster in the fourth quarter, and it definitely felt that way.
Yeah, and it's important. Like, both teams went deep in the bench. One team had a pretty healthy bench. Like, I mean, even the Halliburton thing, Halliburton having to get his wrist rewrapped didn't really hurt you because you just didn't have to force him in any key moments where every time, I mean.
We played Okoro 29 minutes, guys. That's really all you have to say.
I'll let it stand there because that's a very good point. 216-474-0092. I was looking Mac dead in the eyes. The primary, the only Isaac Okoro apologist left in town. Where do you want to go here?
Ryan in Geneva.
Ryan in Geneva, is the Cavs series over, Ryan?
it's absolutely over. I mean, it's there's not even a question that it's over, and I don't really know what anyone
else. But I asked
the
question, Ryan.
Watching. Yeah, sure. You can ask the question. I mean, do you want the psychological, emotional answer, or do you want the pure basketball answer?
Can I get
both?
They
have both of them paid up and ready.
Can I get both?
Okay, sure. So the pure basketball answer is this. They're just – listen, I hate to give excuses to the Cavs because really at this point there's really no excuse for the loss yesterday. It was a complete debacle from coaching all the way down to all the players on the court, Strus, all of them. Ty Jerome was horrible, didn't show up to the game at all. And at the end, even the guys who were playing well completely choked that game away, all of them. And the coaching was absolutely horrendous. They're just a better basketball team right now, being Indiana. And this thing about the Cavs being tired out or whatever, I mean, yeah, they're you know, short-manned a little bit with all the injuries, but the Pacers are playing just as many minutes as the Cavs are, and the Pacers are coming off a tougher series in round one than the Cavs were, where they went four games and just blew the doors off Miami. Now they're playing a real team, and their heart is being tested, and their toughness is being tested. And the problem with that is that they don't have it. They don't have it. Wait, real quick.
I'll meet you on a lot of things. How do you watch that game last night and say they don't have heart? Down three of your six best players. Donovan putting up 48. Max Strus giving you 23 points. Like where did you see that they didn't have heart?
It's not the game, Ryan. That afterwards, Jay Williams can say they were uninterested and they were lazy defensively because it just wasn't the case.
Ryan, if we stop that game at 47 minutes, I guarantee you the only thing people are talking about today is the heart of the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yeah, but you can't stop it at 47 minutes. The most important part of it was the last 47 seconds. And that's where they completely and totally folded. I mean, there were so many ridiculous things that happened at the end of the game that were completely inexcusable that it's just you can place the blame anywhere because it's available to you from top to bottom.
Ryan?
You know, I don't really know what it's about Cleveland or Cleveland sports teams, but I predict these things well before they even happen. All my friends get mad at me because I tell them during the whole game, watch, I can see it coming. It's coming. There's no killer.
I know who you are, Ryan. You're Randy Quaid from Major League Two. You're the guy who's so jaded. And, dude, and I thank you for the call. We're not running off because you say something different than us. We're kind of at the end here. We wanted to give you the full shot clock. I said that one right today. I just, this is not a woe is me moment, man. And I really, listen, maybe it's because I lived through the time where the Browns, Cavs, and Indians were bad at the same time, and there was no hope for the playoffs, let alone the hope was talk to me in 2 years when Grady Sizemore comes up. I don't know how we do the woe is me thing anymore. We've won a championship. I know it was a decade ago. That's more recent than a fair amount of people that aren't in Boston, LA, or Miami have. We've won a championship recently. The Guardians have been deep into the playoffs. With a playoff series win two of the last 3 years. The Browns have actually won a playoff game in this decade. I get it. Last night stunk. But, I can see it coming. They're going to blow it. Come on. This self-pity stuff.
I don't think people had that in
mind.
That's
exactly what Ryan was saying he was doing.
No. Up until the injuries happened. And I think when the injuries happened, and the thing is people watched that game, I mean, you had to have had some thought late in the fourth quarters that looked like the Pacers were charging back that this was not going to go our way.
Well, but I didn't go, here we go again. I just think we should be beyond that by now. I think we've had so many good things in the last 10 years in Cleveland. I know this is ingrained in our DNA. We've had so many good things happening. This is a non-LeBron Cavs team that is really damn good, that plays, by the way, plays ethical basketball the way we want it to. They're so uncommon from every other team in the NBA who mails it in 90% of the time. The Guardians organization, God help them, they're in the playoffs every other year and winning a playoff series every other year. I don't love being the victim.
Listen, I don't love being the victim. That's not it. But I do have an understanding of fans that in 3 days you watch this whole entire season be way different than what you thought it was going to be.
And maybe it's just because I have too much faith that this series isn't over. But I mean, I'm going to continue to say this one phrase, and I don't love saying it because now I feel like a cliche. Let's act like we've been here before. Let's see how Game 3 goes, and we'll go from there. Steve Ashburner, NBA.com. We'll get his thoughts on whether the series is over and whether it was a Pacers comeback or Cavalier collapse in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. To go ahead and talk about this series, to talk about Well, all the other series going on as well. We head out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. You know him from NBA.com, NBA writer and analyst Steve Ashburner joining us now. Steve, welcome to the show.
Hi, yeah, thanks for having me.
Well, it's great to have you here. Was the Cavs loss last night to Indiana, was that more of a collapse by them or a comeback by Indiana?
Well, seeing that the Pacers have done this now in each of the two rounds, they did it against Milwaukee. As improbable as it is, I'm going to give them the credit. You know, I think we need to refer to them as the cardiac Carlisles or something like that.
Because we won't do that in this city, Steve.
Oh, okay. All right. Anyway, no, it was uncanny that what they did to the Bucks. They came out and they did it again to be, like Michael Myers. And you think he's dead? You think they're gone? Nope. They're still in it, and they're gonna snag that game. So no, and of course you factor in the front end of it was no Mobley, no Garland, who am I
Hunter.
Blanking on? Yeah, Hunter. I mean, that's a tough way to go into any playoff situation. So, give Indiana its due. Now, that said, the Cavaliers, they need to get busy. I picked them to win this series in six games. So I'm not wrong yet, but it's going to take some doing.
So do you still believe they can win this series down 2-0?
Well, you tell me which of those injured guys is going to be back. And if you tell me all three of them, then I definitely think so. But if this is a situation that lingers, I think they need at least two of them back to be able to dig out of this hole.
Steve Ashburner on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Where does the burden fall if, let's say...
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You get Evan and Hunter back, but maybe you don't get Darius back.
Well, it's kind of the way they navigated the first round then, right? I mean, it's I feel like they've kind of adjusted to not having Garland. As helpful, as valuable as he is, that's more of a known quantity. They've had time even in between series to practice or game plan without him on board. But I don't think you can lose Mobley, period. And even Hunter as a recent DNP, that's a little bit trickier. That's curveball headed your way. So, no, I don't think that they're in dire straits if it's only, and I put only in air quotes, Darius Garland who's out, because you know they're a little more familiar with that.
How much should Donovan feel like he's got to put the world on his shoulders? You know, in Utah, he did this a lot, but he hasn't had to do it. And he took a step back this year in being the guy that just does everything. But in the first two games of the series, he's taken 30 shots in each, and he feels like he really does have to.
I think he does have to. I think particularly when you're missing three guys like that, I think that the whole dynamic of that team shifts. I mean, we give him a lot of credit for the way he shared the ball, fit himself to the talents of his teammates, didn't need to be, you know, the alpha dog all the time, and basically downshifted. And you know, unfortunately, it's not fair, but you know, when those other guys are not available, or even in games where they're not, you know, they're not humming, you know, it's sort of on him then again as the leader to take over to a large degree. I think that, you know, he knows what that is to do that. So you're not asking anything of him that is foreign to him or premature in his learning curve or anything like that. He's done it before. Yeah, it's not their preferred style of play. It's not what he's been used to doing. He's probably just as tired as you know, those years where he had to do it with Utah at this stage. But, I do think it requires a little bit more hero ball, and I'd hate to see him taking fewer shots.
Steve, when the Cavs lost last night, there were some Cavs fans that maybe turned their attention to Evan Mobley, DeAndre Hunter, and Darius Garland, and questioning whether they should have played last night. Is it fair to criticize any one of those three guys, or any, like, all three of them together for missing last night?
No, I don't think that's fair at all. I mean, if this was a regular season game and you had any suspicions that it was load management, or we're just going to pace ourselves because we have a nice lead in the Eastern Conference, you know, then I think you get impatient. If you're dropping $200-$300 on tickets, you know, then I think, you know, I'm sympathetic to the fans on that sort of stuff. But I don't think these guys, particularly where they're at in their careers, you know, they're not babying themselves. They're not jaking it. They're not doing anything negative. If they could play, I think they would. And I think that, you know, the same thing with the coaches and management. I don't think that they would, you know, fall on a grenade for these guys and say, no, you know, we'll risk losing another home game and just to save you some wear and tear. I think that this is as valid a proof as anything that these injuries are legit.
How do you explain in the fourth quarter the Cavs just looking and feeling so gassed and so tired? Because, you know, they had not been playing as many minutes. Donovan played fewer minutes than he's ever played. Is it anything to do with that, or is it just playoff basketball and the intensity?
Well, and their rotation is out of whack. I mean, the times where guys are used to getting a blow, they're not, because, you know, Mobley's not soaking up a bunch of minutes. Garland's not there. Hunter's not coming in. I mean, sixth man of the year candidate. You have guys thrust into the starting lineup. So the whole rotation is out of whack. I think that's I just think literally the way the minutes are allotted to you, you know, it's challenging. And I think also there's some mental wear and tear when, you know that you have a very, a much thinner margin of error than you do on a given night. Cleveland's one of the deepest teams in the league with Boston, with Indiana, with OKC, and all of a sudden now you're going to go down three. And I just, you know, I'm in Minnesota, so I had to work the late game, and I couldn't watch all of this, the Cleveland-Indiana game, but I was surprised but encouraged when they had the big lead. And then when I saw things sort of get a little closer, then it was like, yeah, okay, well, that does not surprise me because of, like I say, the manpower situation. I mean, nobody expects a 7-point lead to evaporate in less than a minute the way it did. But I think the tremors that went through all the Cleveland fans when they learned that those three guys were not going to be around for game two, I mean, those were legit. And the being able to lead that game was almost a bonus. They could have gotten blown out.
Steve, if If the Cavs end up losing this series, let's make it competitive. Let's say it goes six or seven games. If the Cavs lose this series, is this season a failure for the Cavs?
Let's get Giannis to answer that failure question, right?
He could palm my head like a basketball. Absolutely not.
A few years ago, he quibbled with that notion. I wouldn't say it's a failure. It's a disappointment. You know, that's the reason Kenny Atkinson won Coach of the Year, was that he took a very good team and dialed it up to an elite level. And so you don't expect an elite team, you know, the number one seed in the conference, to go out in the second round. Now, if these injuries don't alleviate, then, you know, that takes some of the sting out of it, I would guess. You know, not for people who are looking forward to seeing the Cavaliers play, you know, deep into May, but it's understandable. But I wouldn't say a failure, but no, it is a disappointment. And you know, I hope, I'm sure they won't try to imitate the Phoenix Suns and fire yet another coach. But you know, yeah, I think this was the next logical step. They needed to get to a conference finals. You know, each of these guys was working on his game. I thought Mobley, you know, he's improved, and Garland had improved, and Mitchell's still, you know, a top scorer. And it's ending too soon if this is indeed, you know, as far as they get.
Yeah, and I think with injuries not being a factor here, I think there's not many people that would make the case that the Pacers are a better team than the Cavs. But the Pacers have certainly impressed people, even with the injuries that the Cavs have had and getting over them in that game two, and especially in game one as well. What did we underrate about Indiana, where now maybe it seems like they are one of the better teams in the East?
Well, can we say Tyrese Haliburton? I guess it was just a handful. 13 players was enough to win him the overrated label in that poll by the that national sports website that anonymously polled NBA players. And we've seen in this postseason already how much that poll actually was worth, right? I mean, overrated? No, I don't think so at all. I think there might be jealousy. If you're anonymously assessing guys you don't like, you might, you know, stick an overrated thing on somebody because you sort of resent the attention he gets or how he's treated in Indiana or whatever it is. I think, you know, because of that, you could almost say that Haliburton was underrated if you're going to go around calling him overrated. I think the Pacers, they have great depth. They have great continuity. They were in the Eastern Conference Finals last year. I know some people thought that was a fluke. You know, Milwaukee wasn't healthy, and they were picked, you know, in the first round to defeat Indiana, and yet there went the Pacers. They kept climbing. So I think probably Carlisle's a little underrated for being able to, you know, do for his team what it needs. And, you know, I like their role players. I think they're, you know, they really have guys who know they're stars in their roles. That's the new NBA cliche. But it's true. T.J. McConnell off the bench. Aaron Nesmith, you know, who used to be with Boston and was kind of a discard. And, you know, I want him on my team. I mean, I think he's a tremendous 3-and-D type of guy, great energy. You saw in that, you know, that tip dunk off the missed free throw. I think they have a great camaraderie, and they come at you. I mean, they are not afraid of you know, putting up shots early in the shot clock and keeping you off pace. If you want to walk that ball and play half court, you know, you better do it really well, because Indiana's going to be, you know, they're going to be running on your makes.
All right, Steve, we got about 30 seconds here. You're watching this Minnesota series up close here. Golden State wins game one but loses Steph Curry for at least a week. Do you think that's enough to swing this fully in the favor of the Timberwolves from here on out?
It ought to be, right? The other team loses its best player for at least three more games, and you're only one game into the series. Minnesota should win those three so that when Curry comes back, you know, it's at least a fairly daunting challenge for the Warriors to overcome. It all Golden State has to do is win one of these three games coming up.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your websites, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Over the next week, and if Curry is available, then it's a best of three series with Steph Curry back. So, Minnesota, they're still missing a little chip of maturity. They have lost games during the season. They lost to Indiana when it didn't have Haliburton. They lost to Milwaukee when it didn't have Giannis or Lillard. You know, if they let their human nature get the better of them and they relax at all, thinking, oh, we don't have to worry about Steph, they'll be the ones, being left behind.
Steve, great stuff, buddy. Appreciate you, and enjoy the rest of that series, and I'm sure we'll have you on down the line to talk more Cavaliers basketball.
Very good. You're welcome.
Steve Ashburner there, NBA.com and the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We'll react to what he had to say about the Cavs. Sure sounds like he thinks the series is over. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Cardiac Carlisle's. I get it's alliterative. We're not doing that.
I noticed that Jake did not cut off the part where I'm like, not in this city,
yeah,
Steve.
I will tell you, I'm proud of you, the fact that you just hopped on that. One, there's too many cardiac things. Like, guys, it was a cardiac kids. It was like, just let us have this. You don't have to steal every like creative thing Cleveland does and then bastardize it for some other thing.
But also in a series against us, too. That just feels very wrong.
Yeah, if you want to use this against the Knicks, we'll allow it. Want to use this against the Celtics if they advance? Well, not against the Cavs.
We'd still probably be peeved either way, but especially not against the Cavs.
Yeah, especially doubling down now.
Well, you know, Steve said it, and he was like, I'm going to say this, and these two younger people aren't going to understand what I'm saying. Not the case here. Not the case, Steve.
Now, we've not gotten into the call and response that happened last night where the Cleveland crowd was chanting overrated to Tyrese Halliburton right up until the second the ball went into the net last night. It's funny because I think I've heard people have different opinions on this as if there was some sort of jinx on this. What if that's just what really good basketball players do?
The ball was always going into Halliburton's hand. Everyone in the world should have known and seen that coming. And he was always, I mean, there was, what world does he not hit that shot when he's been basically the most clutch player in the NBA when it comes to those exact situations?
Also, this is the part of fans. Like they did, the thing that annoyed me is it's like, wait, so now fans can't even chant something that's just good-natured back and forth?
Okay, so the perception was that the fans kind of like riled him up and then got in his head. Halliburton didn't even know you guys were doing that.
So let's go ahead and play this. This is Tyrese Halliburton responding last night when asked about Cleveland fans chanting overrated.
That one was unexpected. I didn't know we had beef, but good for them. That came out of nowhere, but now that label's there, they're all, as it's going to be every time we play somebody. You know, for me, I just control what I can, man, and overrate that.
I got to tell you.
The great walk-off line by him.
It's very David Fizdale.
Oh, yeah.
Take data for that. Yeah, you remember?
I do remember that.
Yeah, we've all forgotten David Fizdale, not your boy Nicky Dubs. I got to tell you.
A fizz bomb.
I kind of loved From a Plane. I don't like the way I said that.
I'm convinced he thought it was Hiroshima.
I was thinking more like recent with planes and bombs and whatnot, but either way, talking about Mike Greenberg saying Adam Schefter dropped a bomb from a plane and then realized he shouldn't have said that way because he's overly sensitive and he has no personality. With love.
Halliburton's got some personality, though. That was a great line in that moment. I hate to give him credit because he might be entering the Cleveland villain list, Nick, but that was a great line in that moment.
I got to tell you, I don't think he's the villain here. If you want to hate Ben Mathurin, hate Benedict Mathurin. Yeah, that guy's a jack. A jag is what I meant to say.
Okay.
If you want to hate Obi Toppin, it's like the most overrated player in the NBA. I'll give you that. He's kind of a chotch. I don't think Tyrese Halliburton was playing hurt last night, had to get the wrist tape.
But he's always kind of been like an NBA villain in a weird way anyway. Like it goes beyond the overrated thing. It's him going into the WWE and trying to play the villain there. Like he's done in NBA circles. He has looked at as more villain than hero constantly.
That was like the nicest way to respond to that. I think his nice humor was funny.
I think he's a nice human. He seems like a nice guy. Seems like his dad is more problematic than he'll ever be.
I mean, it's like... Okay, this is...
He's the best player on the team that could potentially take you out, and we're just we naturally end up hating those guys.
Trying to think.
I guess...
There's got to be a Pistons equivalent, right, where they had a bunch of reprobates around. Was it Rip Hamilton who was like... I want to say Rip Hamilton was like just the nicest guy in the world, and then he was surrounded by a bunch of jerks, like Rasheed Wallace, Ben Wallace, Chauncey Billups, and so you're like, bleep that Rip Hamilton guy, and secretly you were like... He's actually really nice. He's really, really great.
I think there's a part of you that can respect Halliburton's game, but what he did last night was insufferable in many ways. He took over the game. Yeah, he took over the game.
How does that make you a villain? That just makes you really good at basketball.
That's partly what makes a villain against another team in a series.
Like if Don, no, I think like Steph was never a villain in Golden State.
Steph was always a villain in Golden State.
I hated Draymond Green
now,
and
Steph
Klay
did
Thompson
some things,
so much
the
more.
The moment Steph threw his mouthpiece, that was cemented. That was it.
That was like the hardest thing that guy ever did in those series, which isn't hard at all. Like Klay Thompson was the one being like making jokes and talking bad about Cleveland.
You can tell me you hated Draymond more, and I will agree with that. Like in this series, you might end up hating Mathurin way more than you end up hating Halliburton. But like usually the best player on the team that takes you out, they ultimately get the hate.
I know. So what you're saying is not wrong, but I just remember like the shots at Steph were like, oh, he's such a good family man. Oh, he seems like a great father.
That's how hated he became, though, is people went after Aisha. Yeah, people took it beyond Steph. They were like, Aisha, and then just would make all sorts of comments about her.
Does anybody hate Tyrese Halliburton? If I'm wrong, guys, listen, I know that the papacy earlier in the show, right? The clergyman, as I was called by Keith, not our Keith, a different Keith.
Different Keith.
But from Pepper Pike. Who played basketball a lot, I think, at like a local YMCA. played basketball his whole life. He sounded like an older dude too. But I know that I've been high-roading everyone with like this idea of like, okay, it's been 24 hours. It's okay to be upset by the loss, but trying to turn on this Cavs team. I do want to say this again. If two games is all it took to rob you of your faith in the Cavs, you never had faith in this Cavs team. Now that I've done that, I'm off my soapbox. It's been reinforced. I just don't feel any sort of hate for Tyrese Halliburton. Like, there was a part of me last night that was like,
just wait.
It's a hell of a shot.
Just wait.
Like, that is absolutely, he did exactly what you're supposed to do in that game.
If you copy games 1 and 2 and they happen for games 3 and 4, you're going to end up hating him. You'll end up hating Matherin. You might already hate Obi Toppin. You seem like you already do.
Yeah, he's just an annoying chosh.
I think
you
score
10 points a game. Sit down and shut up.
A lot of this Pacers team, you're going to end up hating. The funny part about it, though, and I think Halliburton was right, he's like, I didn't know we had beef. Mainly because we've never talked Cavs-Pacers as if it's some sort of big butting back and forth we need to pay attention to. But this is how this gets started, Nick.
That's a good point. Liam, talking about the marbles celebration.
So I want to talk about that for a second. Because everyone obviously went to the NBA version of that, and we can do that. But, I mean, that was...
It's a Cleveland-specific call.
That was Josh Naylor to Garrett Cole.
216-474-0092. Is Tyrese Halliburton, did he become a Cleveland villain with that shot last night?
Hits the shot and drops the Josh Naylor on you and people are happy about it? Come on now, Nick.
I thought the Pedro Serrano. The lead coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Baseball's all about the games. And the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.